Okay, I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew in the New International Version, chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
You may be seated.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. As you begin to bring your thoughts to focus on this passage, I want you to take a moment in the quietness of your heart and listen to Jesus. He says, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me." That is a call of Jesus to everyone. See, if you've never heard that call, Jesus is speaking to you today. He's saying, "Come, follow me." He's speaking to us. He's calling us to follow him. He's calling us to follow him. So when you follow someone, you follow them somewhere. You follow them somehow. You go where they go and you do what they do and you experience what they experience. Be it wild, exciting, dangerous, and even filled with many risks. So when you follow someone, you experience what they experience. A young soldier follows his commanding officer into battle, and he experiences war. If you've never seen Saving Private Ryan, you need to watch that movie. A novice mountain climber allows the pro mountain climber to lead them up over the rocky ledges, placing their anchors and their footholds and their handholds and their rope wherever the pro leads, and the novice follows him as the young military soldier experiences war. The novice mountain climber experiences what the pro would lead him into following. Exciting, dangerous, risk field. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus established a pattern. He established a model of what it means to be his follower. What it means to be his follower. And keep in mind, these words are quite relative and very real for us today. He's saying, "Come, follow me." That raises two very important questions. One is, first and foundational, are you obeying the call to follow Jesus? And I say that very emphatically. Are you obeying the call to follow Jesus? Second, once we make the decision to follow Jesus, what does that entail? What will we experience when we go with him and follow him wherever he leads? Years ago, my father-in-law, John Pleadings, and his wife, Isabel, Connie's parents, they sang a very special song that is almost like a trademark, and Connie's father would sing it. Wherever he leads, I'll follow. That was the title. I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I found out this week on vacation that my oldest son, Mark, who's a pastor, he's been a missionary to Macedonia, he carries a copy of that song in his Bible. Wherever he leads, I'll go. There's my purpose this morning, is to clarify what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to experience what he experienced. I want to emphasize the experience side of following Jesus. I'm not so much interested in the theological side this morning. That's not to negate the theological side. That will probably be interwoven in what I share. But I want to emphasize the experience side of what will we experience when we follow Jesus. If you have made that decision to obey Jesus' call to follow him, here's what you will experience. If you have not made that decision, if you're kind of sitting on the fence or you're not sure what being a Christian is all about and what it means to look to Jesus and to follow Jesus, because his call is to you as well, this is what you will experience. You could call them road markers. You could call them trail markers. You could call them directional signs to tell you that you're on the right road. You're on the right trail. You're climbing the right mountain. You're following the right leader. I'm going to simply say, these are the areas of life that we will experience. And I want to highlight four: road markers, directional signs, trail markers, or experiences that we will experience when we're really following Jesus. And this is a life-changing adventure. The call of Jesus, come follow me, and we say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Here's what we'll experience. First, Jesus. We will experience Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus Christ. And I need to emphasize that. And it's sad that here we are in 2017 and the church has been in existence for over 2,000 years. I'm talking about the church. And from time to time, church leaders, pastors and teachers and so forth, we need to underscore that we're called to follow Jesus Christ. We're called to follow the Jesus of the Bible. We're not just called to follow an organization or a denomination or an ideology or a philosophy. We're called to follow Jesus. And if we're following him, we will experience Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. And he said, I will never leave you. He's given us his Holy Spirit to indwell us and to be with us. So he is always here. So I challenge you today, if you are not experiencing Jesus, maybe you're not following him. We're not called to follow some philosophical ideology. We're not called to follow some political ideology. And any of those that would leave Jesus out, we certainly don't follow them. We follow Jesus. We're Christians. We're Christ ones. First, we're followers of Jesus. First, we are not Republicans or Democrats or independents. We are not socialists or capitalists or fascists or communists first. We're followers of Jesus first. We're not Americans first. Where's Lee Greenwood to come and sing for us, right? I love America. But first, we're followers of Jesus. to heed his call says everything else is secondary. Every political ideology, every economic system is secondary. We're following him. To follow Jesus means that he becomes the very center of our ethics and our morals and our philosophy of life and our worldview. Once we make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, it is unbelievably exciting and dynamic and, yes, dangerous and certainly filled with risks. But it becomes a challenge to all of our values, all of our priorities, our worldview, our philosophy of life, that which governs us, that motivates us, and the engine that drives us becomes Jesus Christ. And so here's Jesus walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee and throughout Israel and Palestine in the Mideast, and he's calling them, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And they did not just follow an ideology or a thought or an economic system. They followed Jesus because they would eventually see Jesus crucified and die. Yes, rise again. But they too would become martyrs. And they did not become martyrs simply because of some political system. They did not become martyrs simply because of some philosophical ideology. They become martyrs because they were committed to Jesus Christ first. And so when Jesus says, come and follow me, what we will experience is Jesus Christ. He becomes very real and very meaningful and very dynamic and very exciting and, yes, very dangerous and very risk-filled aspect of our daily lives. The second road mark or the directional sign, the second thing that we will experience is personal transformation. We probably better pause there, and I knew that at this point in the sermon, it's like we better change the channel and listen to something else. Yeah, I like the part about following Jesus, but don't talk to me about my life being changed, because I don't want to go there, you know? So let's just change the channel, or let's flip the remote, you know, and get something else on here. But listen to Jesus' words. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you. Now, in a moment, we'll deal with the fishers of men. But he says, I'm going to make you. So here's Jesus talking to us, and he's speaking to us. He's speaking to you, and he's saying, come, follow me. And you say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want to experience you. And then he goes, I will make you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to transform you. To follow him means that we will experience this whole aspect of surrendering to him so that he can change us. Now, we as evangelical Christians, we love to talk about that. We love to sing about, oh, you know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you the way you are. But you know what? He loves us so much that he won't leave us the way we are. He will change us. And we will know that we are in moving in the right direction. We're following the right directional signal, the right trail mark. We will experience the transformation that he wants to do in us, and he will begin to change us. But it's so often right at that point that in our spiritual journey we come to this point of no. I want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to be changed. And we get sidetracked and we get derailed and we get stuck in the rut of self. So instead of life becoming all about Jesus, it becomes all about me. And we as evangelicals can become extremely narcissistic. Navel gazers in street language. But the process of transformation is what we call discipleship. And it's very personal, it is very powerful, and it is very radical. The temptation is to say, well, I'm on the road, I'm going to heaven, I've got my ticket punched for the gospel train, I've got my eternal life insurance policy paid up, and when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus, and that's good enough. it's not good enough. Because if we're really following Jesus, he's going to change us. He's going to transform us. And there's going to be stuff in our lives that he has to deal with. And it will inevitably lead to leaving our comfort zones. And that can become a radical thing. We're saying no longer it's not about me anymore, Jesus. It's all about you. I'm going to follow you like a soldier following the commanding officer into war, into battle. I will experience whatever you, my CO, wants me to experience and what you experience. It's saying, I'll become whatever you want me to become, Jesus. I'll become whatever you want me to become. Change me. Do whatever it takes. Make me into whatever you want me to become. The third thing that we will experience, the third directional signal, the road mark, the trailblazer mark that we are following Jesus, is we will experience intentional relationships with others. Intentional relationships with others. Again, notice Jesus' words, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. The early disciples understood that concept, fishing and fishers of men. Fishing involves an intentional use of our time, our energy, our effort, and our resources. Some of you know this and some of you do not know this, that my wife Connie loves to fish in Ocean City in the bay. Now, she doesn't fish really for fresh water, but go to Ocean City, Maryland area, and man, it's almost like I have to beg her not to go fishing every day. This year, she only went fishing twice. See, she's up here going, oh. And coming back home in the car yesterday, I only went fishing twice. She got up one day, 8:30 in the morning to catch with my oldest son. They had rented a pontoon boat and went out fishing with some of the smaller groups of the family. She likes to fish, but it takes time, it takes energy, it takes resources, it took money. And here's Jesus saying, I will make you fishers of men. Intentional relationships with others. The key word is intentional. Where if we're following Jesus, he's going to do something to transform us that now we're going to get involved in other people's lives. Now just pause there for a moment. The human tendency is to go, okay, that sounds okay, Jesus. I'll do it. As long as they are people just like me. And think like me and talk like me and act like me and smell like me, you know? But don't send me to any of those crazies. Matthew 4, verse 24, if you heard it, listen to it again. And people brought to him all who were with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed. Whoa. When you follow Jesus, you're with Jesus, you will experience what he wants you to experience. He's going to transform you. He's going to change you. He's going to make you a fisher of men. That involves intentional relationships with people that may be demonized. Huh. No, Jesus, I don't want to go there. That's too messy. I don't want to deal with messy people. I don't want to deal with people that got junk and stuff in their life. Wait a minute. You all do. What am I doing here? I think I'm going to retire to my back porch in my retirement house in Maryland with a good book and forget you all. Because you're all got stuff in your life. So do I. Do you get my point? We all got stuff, right? Now I say praise the Lord for Edinburgh Road Chapel. This is one area where I think we're pretty good. And we're willing to deal with people that have a mess in their life. We don't run from that. We don't sweep it under the carpet. But I'm challenging you, not only as a group, but as an individual. Intentional relationships with people means that we can't hibernate. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and become a hermit. Now, I'm going to probably step on somebody's toes, but that's okay. I just step on my own. These things that go around on Facebook, this beautiful log cabin stuck away in the mountains, you know, would you be willing to live there and give up your internet and get away from people and hide and just... And I go, that's not what Jesus called you to do. Jesus called you to get involved in people's lives and messy stuff. See, you cannot be a hermit. You cannot run from the world and just hibernate somewhere. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Those are our marching orders. The gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and throughout the epistles, is all about relationships and building intentional relationships that take time. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes resources. It may take our money to get involved in people's lives that desperately need to hear the gospel and to be saved from their sin and their rebellion against God and their eternal destiny separated from God. It takes time to do that. But that's what the gospel is all about. It's the good news. The most wonderful news a person can ever hear. That they can be saved from their own sin, slavery to sin, and saved from Satan's dominion of darkness and Satan's lies. And we have that message. So coming and following Jesus means that we will get involved in people's lives. The fourth thing that we will experience, the fourth directional sign that we are really following Jesus and not some person or some idea, some romantic notion, is that we will live in dependence upon Him. It's a very radical passage here in Matthew 4, verses 20 and 22. At once, they, meaning those who Jesus called, at once they left their nets and followed Him, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. I mean, picture that. These guys are fishing, father, their livelihood, their nets, their boat, their father, their immediate father, says they left their nets, they left their father, they left the boat, and they followed Jesus. Their nets were their source of livelihood, their source of security. Their future depended upon that. They left it all to follow Jesus as a demonstration of their trust and dependence upon Him. Period. I word this question very carefully. Do you have any nets in your life which are your source of security over and above Jesus. It could be your job, your vocation, your business. It could be your money in the bank. It could be your retirement. It could be your insurance policy. It could be another person. And none of that is bad. Those things that I just mentioned are not bad. But the question is, in whom do we depend upon? In whom do we trust? See, if we're really following Jesus, there may be times where we just have to say there's no more nets. There's no more safety nets. There's no more boats. There's no more security. Jesus, I trust you. In whom do we trust? That call of Jesus means that it's absolute dependence and trust in Him. There can be no aces up our sleeve in case Jesus fails. Yeah, you know, I trust you, Jesus, but just in case you don't come through. Following Jesus is the most radical way a person can live. And we can do it because He is the most radical God. He provides. In 1968, I became a follower of Jesus. And He said, I want you to be a pastor. And I was in the Navy. Had a good position, and the Navy had wonderful security with me, my wife, and two children. And I had an opportunity to take the next step in the Navy to get all expenses paid at a college for engineering or some scientific or electronic field. I was in aviation electronics. And to get all expenses paid for 4 years and come out and be commissioned as an officer. And Jesus said, I want you to be a pastor. Whoa. I said, okay. 1975, we moved from Connecticut, where I'd been a pastor for a few years, back to Western Pennsylvania. I'm going back to graduate school, and I'm working in a steel mill, making a very good salary and good security and a chance for a great promotion. And God said, I want you to leave, and I want you back in a church. And we ended up in this little town on the eastern shore of Maryland called Secretary. And we had three children now, and a fourth, Suzanne, was on the way. And I left this super job and went to Maryland to be a pastor of a church where there were 23 people, including me and my family. And my salary in 1978 was less than $6,000 a year. And I'm saying that to tell you as an example that God provides. And sometimes you have to leave your comfort zone, and there are no nets, there are no security, and there's no insurance, and there's no retirement. And God provides. And what a radical ride it has been. I love to ride my Harley, but there is nothing like following Jesus. Nothing. Oh, there's been some rough moments. So when He says, come and follow me, you experience Jesus, you experience His Holy Spirit, the power of His Holy Spirit, His living presence, His dynamic presence in your daily life, moment by moment. And He begins to change you. He begins to transform you. You get involved with people, and that can be messy, but wow, has it been exciting? Let me pause right there. Because the fourth one is the total dependence upon Him. I got a phone call about a year ago from a guy in Maryland who was a pastor in that little church in Secretary. His wife had died, and he calls me on the phone and hadn't talked to him in years. And he says, Pastor Doug, he said, I said, yeah. And he said, I just want you to know my wife died. She died peacefully. She's with the Lord. But he said, I want you to know that you'll always be my pastor. I mean, that was nice to hear. I get a letter. We come back from vacation and I get the mail that Diane has in her office. And there's a letter, a note from a guy who was a pastor, who was a friend of mine in the church when we were in Connecticut. And he says, my wife just died. He said, would you call me? So I'll call him this week. So when you meet people like that, just two little examples, and the journey that God has brought me on, from hearing His voice to say, come and follow me, and those intentional relationships, that when you get involved in people's lives, it is wild. And someday, see, some of you, you will be in my book. I may not mention your name. That it might be, these names are changed to protect the identity of the person, you know. So instead of saying Skip Olson, Skip Olnick, I may say Harry. Oh, that's his real name. But see, I mean, the years that I've been here, it's like, wow, look at these people. I've got to know these people. They're friends. They've had problems and mess in their life. And I've been there and I've cried with them and I've laughed with them. And so when you take that step to follow Jesus, you get involved in people's lives that you cannot imagine, all over the world. I mentioned Skip. You go to Hawaii and meet people that you get involved in their life, right, Skip? Yeah. Macedonia and Romania and Russia and little places. And then this wonderful, fantastic thing of living in dependence upon Him. What a way to live. What a way to live. So if you are not following Jesus, I invite you to make that decision. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to follow church. I don't want to follow a denomination. And I don't want to follow an organization. Now, just put that aside. It's all about following Jesus. Amen. The other stuff's secondary. I invite you to follow Jesus. He will not fail you. I may fail you. The church may fail you. The denomination may fail you. Some organization may fail you. Jesus will never fail you. He will never leave you.
That's right.
So if you've never made that decision, make that decision today. Jesus, I will follow you. And if you have made that decision sometime in your life, this is what you will experience. You'll experience Jesus. Personal transformation, intentional relationships, and fantastic ability to be able to live in dependence upon Him. Come, follow Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you for a moment. And He is speaking. And I know He's touching someone's heart today about following Him. Make that decision to follow Jesus today. Maybe someone else that need to learn to live in dependence upon Him. Take that step. He'll provide everything you need. Thank you, Father, for Your presence with us. Truly, You're awesome. As we leave this building, I pray that we will know Your presence, Your manifest, real presence. We will breathe in Your presence. We praise the name of Jesus. Amen. We're dismissed.